Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four big blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
President Donald Trump standing next to President of Russia, Vladimir Putin. And it was the Trump-Putin summit. And it really doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on today. Trump's getting blasted for this.
A lot of people not happy because of the way that Donald Trump did not press Vladimir Putin, did not question Vladimir Putin.
Well, he just said he believed that Vladimir Putin, when Vlad told me he had nothing to do with meddling, I believe him.
Now, we don't know what was said behind closed doors. We don't know what's going to come out of this meeting or this summit. But at that press conference, it was as though Donald Trump had no idea who the guy he was talking about to his left. He had no idea that he was throwing America and the intelligence community under the bus when Friday the intelligence community and the FBI said, Robert Mueller's investigation, we've got 12 known people, 12 Russians who we know hacked and tried to persuade or tried to fix or influence an election. It's like he doesn't remember any of that.
Oh, I think he remembers it. I think that's why he did what he did today. Donald Trump, did he throw U.S. intelligence under the bus? Yes, he did. Did he side with Vladimir Putin and basically say, hey, you know, Russia didn't meddle? Yes, he did. But I've got to believe that there's a reason that, you know, defies logic. I mean, I get what he said. I understand why people are angry. People are saying it was un-American, it was treason. I certainly wouldn't go that far.
It's not treason, though.
But there's got to be some kind of arrangement behind closed doors between Trump and Putin where Trump goes to Putin and says, hey, listen, I know you meddled. We got the info. We got the intelligence. This is behind closed doors. And he tells Putin, don't worry. When we get up there, I'm going to back you. But you're going to do me a big favor. And you're going to do something big for me.
Now, and whenever that is.
I don't know what that is. But that's the only logic that I can come up with, that Trump, the deal maker, the art of the deal, the guy who likes to get things done, has some kind of arrangement with Vladimir Putin, because I don't think that Trump would go on stage and kind of look like he's in the pocket of our greatest enemy. I've got to believe that he did it for a reason that we don't know about yet. And I'm not trying to make an excuse for Trump. I'm just trying to get into his head. I'm just trying to get into his head.
He has this blind spot for this man and this country, and I don't understand why. The leverage you would have to have, and that would put Vladimir Putin on the offensive, on the defensive, not the offensive. Putin didn't look bothered. He didn't look bad. He didn't look cross. He didn't look angry. If Trump really got him and assailed him in these meetings, Vladimir Putin doesn't seem to be ruffled, wrinkled, or anything. I don't know if there isn't anything. What is the leverage that Donald Trump has against Russia? There isn't any leverage.
Our relationship has never been worse than it is now. However, that changed as of about 4 hours ago. I really believe that.
All right, that is a true Trumpism. It's totally false, but that is a true Trumpism of everything before I got here sucked. Mm-hmm. Everything that happened before me was
a disaster.
Right. Whatever. That's not true. That is just not true. Our relationship with Russia is better than it was in 1960, in 1970, in 1980. But this guy thinks that he just, I guess, makes everything better. We don't know. We have no idea what you said in that meeting. So don't tell me that it was the worst it has ever been when we almost nuclear annihilated each other back during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Don't even give me that.
I hold both countries responsible. I think that the United States has been foolish. I think we've all been foolish. We should have had this dialogue a long time ago.
All right.
I don't understand that either.
Well, I mean,
foolish.
I mean, Obama and Russia and Putin and the red line in Syria, that was a mess. So Obama did not do a good job with Russia. I mean, not at all. So when Trump did take over the presidency, he had a long way to go with Russia.
Yeah, but this is bad mouthing somebody in your family. Don't say, yeah, you can insult my sister again.
Well, I'm just saying that over the course of the Obama years, it wasn't a very good relationship with. Remember, Bush and Putin got along very well.
Yes, but we have nothing to apologize for.
I agree.
Either.
And then Russia and Obama, they didn't get along very well.
Right.
And now we've got Trump and Putin. Apparently, they're getting along. But there's got to be a reason why he did what he did today.
Oh,
and if there isn't, then it just proves he's in the back pocket of him. And I don't want to believe that.
And what's the reason for that? What does Putin have on Trump? We don't know.
You're listening to the Big Four at Four. We bring you four big blockbuster stories over the first 20 minutes of the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story Two.
Republican leadership seems to be distancing themselves following President Trump's summit with Russian President Putin. The Republican chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Bob Corker, said, quote, "The president's comments made us look as a nation more like a pushover." And Speaker of the House Paul Ryan said the president must, quote, "appreciate that Russia is not our ally and that they remain hostile to our most basic values and ideals." John McCain going even further, calling the press conference the, quote, "most disgraceful performance by an American president in memory."
Okay, so I counted four Republicans that are against Trump on what he did today. Bob Corker, as you like to call him.
Cork Bobber.
Paul Ryan. He's got first two names. You can't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain and Jeff Flake. All four men have come out against what Trump did today. Where's the rest of the Republican Party?
Oh, you've got U.S. Senator Ben Sasse. You've got Liz Cheney.
Sasse is running against
but it's still Republicans.
I know, but it's the same names that want to hit Trump, right? It's names every time.
But who else do you want to – I mean, do you want every – Do you expect Martha McSally to come out and say something?
Well, no, I
do. Too.
Well, I would like it, but she's running for election, and we probably aren't going to get it.
Right, but I was surprised how just absolutely eviscerating some of them were. Of like Paul Ryan. Mm-hmm. Hello, they're not an ally. What are you talking about? And McCain in recent memory.
So Paul Ryan's not running for re-election, and he ripped him. Flake is not running for re-election, and he ripped Trump. Bob Corker, I don't even know if he's running.
He's retiring.
Well, I thought he was retiring, and then he suddenly wasn't. So, are we going to say he's still retiring? So the only people that are coming, all I'm doing is pointing out that Congress is so gutless. The only people that are really coming out are retiring.
But you've also got people on Fox News saying this is bad. Former Republican people who work for Republican administration saying it was bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was truly awful. That he basically threw America under the bus for no reason.
Well, that's why I think there is some sort of reason that we don't know about. Why would he go out and do something like that? I know, I can hear it. He's an idiot. He's an imbecile. He's the worst president in the world.
I think it's even worse. I think he just doesn't care.
I don't think that. I think that he's got some type of deal. He knew what he was doing. I know that he is not the guy that sits down and studies everything, okay? But I think that he went into this press conference wanting to get something done.
But what is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know what they talked about for 2 hours in Helsinki. I just can't.
If it's nothing, then I don't get it.
Mind, what did you tell him in that meeting that you have the leverage, and then you come out and almost supplicate yourself to this guy who is not our friend? I can't imagine. We're not at war. We're not going to war. It's not as though we have nukes pointed at each other. I don't know why you bend over backwards to make it sound like we're the bad guys here.
He gets along with the bad guys and not the good guys. You know, he doesn't get along with Germany, Britain. He's gotten along with Kim Jong-un. He's gotten along with Putin. It's a different way of doing things.
But I understand the relationship with Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. There's a bigger goal there. What is the bigger goal with Russia? I don't know.
You're listening to the Big Four at Four. We still have Big Story 3 and Big Story 4 to go.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story 3.
Former CEO of Papa John's, John Schnatter, claims in a new interview from a local Louisville radio station that he was pressured to use the N-word from a marketing agency.
The agency was promoting that vocabulary.
The remarks were made during a media training session for the company after Schnatter made comments about NFL players protesting inequality, partly blaming the league for declining sales.
So we know that Papa John himself got in trouble last year when he said NFL players who are taking a knee are pushing viewers away, and I'm not selling enough pizza.
Yeah, I'm losing money.
Then this year he did kind of a workshop kind of thing?
Yeah, a workshop with a PR firm that would come in and say, okay, if this is the scenario, how would you handle it?
We're going to teach you how to stay out of trouble.
Right. Yeah, but listen to what he said to that local radio station.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to blame...
the PR.
Well, the PR people were using that language, so
right.
I thought I could... No. You can't blame anybody.
Just because someone else uses the N-word doesn't mean you go ahead and say the word, too.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a really great rule about the N-word. There should be a really great rule. Never use it.
Just don't say it.
Never say it. It's real simple. Never use it. It's really not that hard. Just don't say it.
So now Papa John's, the company, has basically taken away his office.
Wait, so he owns 33% of the company.
Right.
He's almost a billionaire, right?
He's a founder,
and he's still there. Is he flipping pies?
You know, that's a great question. Do you let him work at all for any Papa John's location ever?
Well, they pulled him off all the ads.
Right.
With Peyton Manning and all that kind of stuff.
Do you let him own any of the company? Do you force him out and buy his 33%?
Oh, maybe. I don't know if you can do that.
I would. If you're going to take away his office, you're going to take away his face. We're not going to see those horribly bad commercials next to NFL or NHL or MLB season.
Just get rid of all of it. They took his office space.
Yeah. Just get rid of everything.
Can't give a guy a cubicle in the basement somewhere?
Okay, what is he going to do with that cubicle? See, that's what I'd worry about. You've banned him from doing any interviews. He's not the face of the company.
Right.
Don't allow him in the building.
You're listening to the Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story Four.
Is it possible to sign my water board?
Sure.
That's a first. That's the first time I've ever signed a water board.
Well... that's the new show on Showtime, and the voices you heard there was Sacha Baron Cohen. He dressed up as Ali G. He was, who was the
Borat.
Other? Borat, right? Now he's this Israeli intelligence officer. That's how he's dressed up. He's interviewing former Vice President Dick Cheney.
Obviously famous for the waterboarding comment.
He's got a little waterboarding, like
kit? Or something like
Can
that?
Can you sign it? And Cheney says, sure.
First time I've ever been asked that.
Cheney didn't know he was being duped. So Sacha Baron Cohen has duped Cheney. He's duped Arpaio. He has duped Palin. He's duped...
Trent Lott, former U.S. Okay. Senator.
Let's go into the Trent Lott thing. So Trent Lott, I don't think we've even ever brought his name up because he was gone.
Oh, he was gone in 2007.
In like 6 or 7? Okay. Yeah. So he was a pretty big-time senator, right?
Long time.
Okay. So Sacha Baron Cohen dupes him into coming on this show. And the whole point of the show... is to make politicians look stupid. Well, let me rephrase that. To look even more stupid than they always do. That's pretty
It's
fair.
A true gotcha that Sacha Baron Cohen is going after the right-wing establishment and saying, look how stupid you people
are. And he's
are.
Leading them down a road of ridiculousness that anybody who's got a brain in their head, as soon as Sacha Baron Cohen opens his mouth, anybody who's got a brain should say,
what?
So he gets Trent Lott, former senator, right? And he said, you know what's a good idea, Trent?
And this is Sacha Baron Cohen's character
in Israeli. Yes. Yeah. You know what's a good thing? We can stop school shootings. Let's give guns to preschoolers. Trent Lott?
I support the Kindergartens program.
That is not a misquote or a mispronunciation. That's what this program... Well, it's not a real program.
Of course it's not a real program.
I support the Kindergartens program. I know.
We in America would be wise to implement it, too. It's something that we should think about in America, about putting guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens, good guys, whether they be teachers... or whether they actually be talented children or highly trained preschoolers.
Jeez. Preschoolers, 3-year-olds.
Toddlers
with guns.
You've got to just take your hands and cover your face and your head and say, oh my goodness, that guy was actually in office once. Dude, you're getting punked. You've been given the most ridiculous idea to stop school shootings, and you went along with it because you're a dope.
It's one thing to, because you said earlier that people have walked out or said, okay, this interview's over.
Sure, Donald Trump has walked out when he was a businessman.
He
walked out.
They understand that it's ridiculous or whatever. But this is a former senator who is like doing like an advertisement for the kindergarten program.
So then, I don't know, somebody who is like, I don't know, they put a package together, I guess, and I'm talking about like a TV package.
Okay.
And they said, so you got the Kinder Guardians, right? So listen to this idea for first Grenaders.
Intensive 3-week Kinder Guardian course introduces specially selected children.
This is all not true, obviously.
From 12 to 4 years old. To pistols, rifles, semi-automatics, and a rudimentary knowledge of mortars.
Rudimentary.
In less than a month, a first grader can become a first grenader.
Let's give first graders a grenade so they can stop the school shooting.
Rudimentary training in explosive. That's the part with me that I'm just like, you don't see that this is a total farce.
Come on. That was awesome. That was so awesome. It just shows how dumb people are in politics.
But you would think Trent Lott has been, I mean, he's been around Congress. He's been around a lot. You would think that he would sniff this out and go, wait a minute.
Give a gun to a preschooler. The Big 4 at 4.
The Big 4 at 4 with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big 4 at 4 delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.
All right, coming up next, Mac. More white people are calling the cops on black people.
Oh, no.
It happened at a CVS. And they called the cops on a black woman's coupon.
Coupon?
Coupon. Next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Oh, geez. We got more white people calling the cops on black people.
You do? Did you say I have more?
We've got.
Oh, we've got.
Well, it started at Starbucks. Oh, my goodness. Those two black men are sitting there, and they haven't ordered anything in 3 minutes. Mm-mm. Call the cops.
Yeah.
There have been like some, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. The black people are using the pool. We can't have that. The community pool. We got to call 911. The white person calls 911. Now it happened at CVS. I have a solution for this, by the way. I have a solution how we could put a stop to all the white people calling the cops on all the black people for ridiculous reasons.
All right. I have a question about this person, because what I'm wondering if this person actually, what's the word? Not incite, but did she start the race stuff first?
Okay.
Not CVS, the woman with the coupon that supposedly wasn't valid.
Right. All right. You've got the white guy behind the desk ringing up the black woman, you know, who is
Camilla.
Camilla. Right.
Yeah. And she posted to Facebook because managers at a CVS said your coupon isn't valid.
Right. They basically said you made it. It's fraudulent.
Right.
It's not real. And she's like, come on.
You mailed it to me.
Yeah. I got it in the mail.
Right.
So one thing led to another. And the white person says, I'm calling the police.
Well, you said one thing led to another. She was asked to leave.
Okay.
She was asked to leave. She refused to leave. She wanted the coupon validated or whatever.
Yeah.
And she decided to put it on Facebook. When the CVS manager was calling the cops, he was shaking. And I wonder if she started...
He's scared of black people.
Well, is it? Or scared of this particular woman? Or did she start it with
Come
her
on.
Comment?
You think he was scared of her? I tease when I say that. But so the guy picks up the phone, and you say he's shaking. Maybe he was. And the black woman is right in front of him.
Right.
While the white guy's calling the cops.
African-American.
Black. No, I'm not African-American. I'm black.
She's black,
Mac. Now, see, does that start the race thing... By correcting him, I'm not African-American, I'm black. Black is not a bad word. Like, did this guy pick up and call 911 going, this is not going to end well. I know this is not going to end well. I'm going to lose my job, but I've got no other choice. What am I supposed to do? Because he knows she's going to go down that road.
Or did he not ring up the coupon because he doesn't like black people? I don't know the answer.
It was two. It was two people at the CVS said, it's not a valid coupon. So you can't say I don't ring up for black people.
I don't
do coupons for you if you're black.
Right.
She's wearing a green.
Tell them I'll be here when they arrive. That I will be waiting for them to arrive.
Okay.
And see, I'm shaking just listening. Because I know that this is not going to end well. I know when the cops arrive, she is going to go off on me.
Run the coupon.
She's going to.
I don't think the coupon's fraudulent. Let me solve this problem. I'm all about solving problems. Wouldn't you agree? I just knew.
Interesting choice of word when you say solving, yes.
You got all these white people calling the cops on black people. Let me talk to the black people. Let me tell you what to do. Call the cops first.
What?
Call the cops first if you're black.
I'm going into CVS.
There's going to
be an incident?
No. If you're black and you see one of these white people who are scared of you for one reason or another, and oh my goodness, you haven't ordered anything, now I feel like you're going to be hostile towards me. If you're black, just call the cops first. If you see the white person trying to grab that cell phone, you call the cops first.
To say
blacks need to call the cops first before the white people can get to the phone.
To say what,
though? To say this is what's happening. So the black woman could have said, yes,
hello.
Is this 911 and the police? Thank you. I'm at CVS. They're treating me poorly.
Now, wait a minute. Wait. This is
they're
the
not
call.
Running, they're not running my coupon. Yes, that's the call.
We've talked about this before, how people use 911 when they don't get ketchup with their fries.
Hey.
It'd be a totally different story if this African-American woman called.
Not running my coupon.
Black woman called and said, yeah, they won't let me use my coupon for Metamucil. I want my $2 discount.
And then I would call. And then they said, no, I'd call the police. Because at least I'm calling the police and not the white person. White people are calling police way too much on black people.
This is why I'm telling you,
for the most ridiculous reasons in the world.
You only get one 911 call, the rest you're charged. I'm telling you, this is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. The police have to get involved in a situation like this?
The cops walked away. They
Good.
Did not do anything.
Good. Did they run the coupon?
They're cops. They're not CVS managers.
Just checking.
Jeez.
Well, they can see counterfeit a mile away.
This just in, the CVS CEO is flying to Chicago with a bunch of coupons.
Oh!
I'm kidding.
No.
That didn't happen.
There's going to be racial training that's going to be taking place at all CVS. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming up next, traffic. We'll get some news with Becky Lynn. Will there be a mass resignation at the Department of Homeland Security after what President Trump did with the U.S. and the Russia summit today? Next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
So the president was with Vladimir Putin today. The president sided with Vladimir Putin over his own intelligence officials. He blamed the United States for Russia's attack on our democracies. Some people are calling it the surrender summit. McCain said this was one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory.
Some are even calling it nothing short of treasonous. Joining us now is John Cohen, ABC News. He's a consultant, former acting undersecretary of intelligence at DHS. John, how are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me on again.
John, what was your take?
Well, I have to tell you, as I've mentioned before with you all, I've been in this business, national security, law enforcement, homeland security, for 32 plus years. And I don't think I've ever been as stunned as I was today to hear sitting president of the United States essentially undermine the findings of his own law enforcement and intelligence agencies, contradict the finding of those agencies, and to have his own director of national intelligence correct what the president who appointed him say just tells you or shows you just how significant today's events were.
Let's go back. On Friday, Robert Mueller, the Mueller investigation, the FBI released that they indicted 12 Russians who basically either tried to or did sway an election.
They screwed with our elections. They meddled.
First time in the country's history that a foreign nation has not only willingly, but this would be harder to prove, but actually swayed the election in our country's history. President doesn't say anything about it, doesn't say anything to Putin about it, and says, I believe him when he says he had nothing to do about it. Friday, we just indicted 12 guys from Russia, your country, and he says nothing, John, nothing.
That's right, and this is one in a series of indictments by the special counsel. And in this case, the special counsel actually indicted operatives from a military intelligence organization, the GRU. They are one of the main intelligence organizations of the Russian government. They are part of their defense department or their military. What the indictment also illustrated was that these GRU agents created a number of fictitious organizations to support not only the theft of this information through hacking, but the weaponization of that information. And these organizations were in contact with people here in the U.S. So the idea that the Russian government use their intelligence apparatus to engage in a sophisticated effort to undermine our election. They did so by spreading false information and propaganda, and they also did it by breaking into campaign and other information systems to steal sensitive information and then use that as a part of their propaganda campaign is truly significant. And to think that that could happen without the leadership of Russia knowing about it is just ridiculous. So this is one of those issues, and we've talked about these types of issues before, where whether you're Republican or Democrat, it shouldn't matter. Our country was attacked. We were attacked by a foreign government. These attacks are continuing. The current intelligence chiefs have stated that. The DNI stated that as recently as Friday past. And we as a country should be pissed off. And we as a country should be making sure that our government does everything it can to protect us.
John Cohen is joining us, ABC News consultant. He's a former acting undersecretary for intelligence at the DHS. And we're talking about Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin in their press conference. And Donald Trump said that he believes Vladimir Putin when he says he had nothing to do with meddling in the United States election. So what would you do if you were still the former acting undersecretary for intelligence at DHS and the president said this today? What would you do?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because my initial reaction was, how can people who are in these positions today stay working in government? But when I thought about it a little bit more, I sort of came to a different place, which was people who are the true intelligence and law enforcement professionals, like Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, the Director of National Intelligence Codes, the leadership of the CIA and DHS, they need to stay in position, and they need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to defend ourselves. One of the areas where I still am concerned is that we really haven't done enough to protect our election infrastructure. We haven't done enough to counteract the ongoing influence and propaganda campaign efforts of Russia and other countries. So I'd like to hope that the people, the professionals that are in these positions, are, just notwithstanding what the president said today, are going to be more assertive and more aggressive in protecting the country.
John Cohen, ABC News consultant. He's a former acting undersecretary for intelligence at DHS. John, as always, thank you for the insight. We certainly appreciate it.
Talk soon.
So we'll get more into this in the 5 o'clock hour. I mean, this is what everybody's talking about. Did Trump throw his country under the bus? I've got a thought at about 5:15 that I'll share. I like trying to get into Trump's head and figure out why he does what he does. And I know that's not easy, but I mean,
you think there's actually a reason why
I've got to believe
he chose to say what he said.
I've got to believe there's a reason, because if he did what he did today and didn't have a reason, then I'm shaking my head and scratching my head. I think that I have a reason of why he did what he did today.
There's a reason why you do everything, obviously, but why he almost apologized from something that we proved is now true.
Why would
I don't
you
understand.
Do that?
Right, I don't understand.
Okay, I think I know why he did it, or at least I have a thought about why he did it.